on the show, Richard Grove. He did a great documentary, still one of probably my favorite documentaries and one I recommend quite often, State of Mind, the Psychology of Control, which really goes into the whole history of social engineering and how far back it goes. And these techniques have been used over and over again to control the masses. I guess when you talk about that, it kind of highlights what you're saying in regards to the Zeitgeist movement got a lot of shit from religious people, Peter Joseph. But I think one of the things he was trying to highlight in this first film was the fact that you can use religion to control the masses, right? He was kind of opening up, talking about all these techniques to control the masses, from false flags and these events that spark emotion and empathy and revenge, and then use that, like September 11th, to go into Iraq and Afghanistan, or you use spirituality, religion, scripture, this higher power idea to convince you that you're doing something for the greater good. So yeah, these are all techniques to control people. Somebody else we brought up quite a bit, and I wanted your thoughts on it because it's a complete left turn, but I'm kind of curious. You talked about Steven Spielberg. Well, what do you think of his new movie, Disclosure, or Disclosure Day? There's a lot of conversations about why he's doing a movie like this. I know he's always kind of been, people say he's always been fascinated with the topic. Do you think it's just him being fascinated with the topic, or is it more like you mentioned? Is there a reason for the timing?
No, I think Steven Spielberg is part of the Pentagon, and that, and he's very good at what he does. I mean, one of the things that they're very good at, the Office of Net Assessments, I think, goes out and assesses people, right? And I think that Steven Spielberg was assessed as very competent at what he does, because he is very competent at what he does. And it's funny, because when I worked at the Shoah Foundation Institute, my title had been at every other company that I worked at, creative director, but I wasn't allowed to have that title. And I wasn't allowed to have that title because Steven doesn't believe that creativity is human. He believes that it's a gift from God, and that you can be a design director, but you can't be a creative director, which I always thought was... So he's very specific about words, but now that I'm so specific about words, I totally understand where he's coming from. But I've had several friends who were personal assistants to Steven Spielberg in different capacities, but like in the room with him every day, you know, following him around, taking notes, getting stuff done. One of my friends told me that he was working at Amblin, which was down the drive. I was at stage 35, which doesn't exist to this day, but in the 1990s, when I was working on a lot at Universal, when I worked for Joel Schumacher, I worked in the producer's building, which is next to what they call the Black Tower in the front of the studio. And then when I worked at GameWorks, I worked on stage 35, which was an old sitcom stage that was in the back lot, close to where they have all of the outdoor sets. And it's just down the drive. The reason I was on that stage is because it was just down the driveway from Amblin. And Amblin is a building that Lou Wasserman built for Steven Spielberg after, I think, Jaws came out. Lou Wasserman didn't want Steven Spielberg to ever leave Universal, and he basically built him a little palace on the back lot at Universal, which is still there to this day. So my friend who worked at Amblin told me that they used to ask the same question that I asked when I worked in the producer's building, which is, how do they decide what movies they're going to make? And he told me about an event that happened where Steven went and was gone for a couple of weeks and met with some people, and he didn't go into any details about who the people were. But at one point, Steven called into the office and they had an all hands meeting, and everybody came into the conference room, and everybody at Amblin came into a conference room with their yellow legal pads and their pens. And Steven was on the speakerphone, and he told them what the 9 projects were that they were going to do that year. He just dictated them out. We're going to make a movie about this. We're going to make a movie about that. We're going to make a television series about this. We're going to make a television series about that. And everybody got their marching orders, and then they went and they made those movies and made those TV shows. So that story, to me, makes me think, well, he was getting read in. You know, he was meeting with the Tavistock people, or, you know, whoever it is that he gets his marching orders from. And they tell him, this is what you're going to go make. These are the movies and the TV shows that you're going to make this year. I think that's the way it works. I think that's the same way it worked with Chris Carter, and the same way that it works with Mark Burnett. and with Sam Esmail and all of the other showrunners, who's the guy who did Buffy the Vampire Slayer. These people get marching orders. And they march.
And I mean, even on a more general view of things,